Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session.
We're back.
We don't have a new whiskey. We're drinking Russell Reserve. We've reviewed it before. I like it, but we've already gone down that road. But it's good to be home and good to see you, man.
Good to see you too. How was Michigan?
Michigan was actually pretty good. Yeah. I don't want to get into the details. It was definitely a very fast-paced week, but in a good way.
Well, Michigan, a little different than New York,
where you were. It was a little different than Long Island for sure. It was real weird though, because I had this client before 6 years ago. So, in fact, they had spoken in the past. There was kind of a rumor they didn't like me because of my politics. So now we're talking about them on the air. How about that? Oh. I was greeted with open arms and fist bumps and hugs and everything. It was really kind of nice. And I got to see the line that I helped them install 6 years ago, still running and still looking good. So that kind of felt...
Did you get a little nostalgic?
I did. Good. I did. Good. Went back to the same hotel bar that I used to go at all the time, and the bartender that used to always blow me off was still there.
Oh, I thought that was going a different direction.
No. Blow me off, not... Yes. Okay. Yeah, it was kind of funny, actually.
Wait, 6 years ago? So she's still there?
She's still there.
So did you do the... Hey.
No, I didn't. Bitch. I wanted to see. I wanted
still in the same job, you miserable.
I did not do that.
See you next Tuesday. Now I'm rolling in cash.
Yeah, exactly.
F you.
Should have jumped on this. Well, she had a kid back in the day. She may have more now. She was sporting a ring. And the years have not been particularly kind, if I'm going to be honest with you. But it was. I mean, it was 6 years ago, but me and my coworkers were in there. Four nights a week, because you're in the middle of nowhere, so it's either there or drive to places in an area we didn't know.
Right.
So I was curious if she would recognize me. If she did, she gave no inclination, but I did save the receipt with her name on it to prove to my buddies that I had seen her again. And
nice.
So
I would have just taken a picture. Did she, or did she just look that much different?
Where... No, she. You tell the same person. Just 6 years. A lot can happen in 6 years. All right, but she was sporting a ring, so she's got that going for her. So I have not been paying particularly good attention to the whistleblower story. You want to try to?
Well, yeah. Let me fill you in since you've been spite drinking the whole week.
Exactly.
So the story pops up yesterday, maybe the day before, that there is a national security person. You know, we don't know exactly what their role is, what position that they have, but they heard a conversation with Donald Trump, who was speaking to a leader of another country and saying, you know, making promises and saying some things that disturbed the person who works in national security to the point where they felt compelled to, you know, make a whistleblower complaint, which essentially a whistleblower complaint is... You say, hey, I've seen XYZ, I think this is illegal, I think it's bad.
Need to remain anonymous.
Right, I need to remain anonymous, we shouldn't be doing this. Like this, you know, there's a high risk for retaliation. And then what's supposed to happen is you have the Inspector General reviews it, and depending on who is being outed here.
Inspector General or Attorney General?
I think it's the Inspector General.
Okay.
And depending on who's being outed, then it's been passed to Congress, right? And so in this particular situation, that procedure wasn't followed. The Department of Justice ended up getting involved, which is raising some questions about this entire process. Why do we even have it? Because the Department of Justice, especially in our current climate, is... They're not supposed to be, but this particular situation, you know, William Barr is very beholden to Donald Trump, right? The Attorney General is supposed to be the kind of... The top lawyer for the country and not the president, right? He's not the president's private counsel. And in this situation, the DOJ was able to intervene between the Inspector General's office and Congress with this whole whistleblower thing. And so now, the person's name is out there. Trump, all his cronies know who the person is. You know, they've already called the person out as a partisan, you know,
sure.
as a partisan person, and have started to attack him or her. But it seems like it's a him based from, you know, the way people are describing it who are in the know.
The only thing I'm going to say about that, though, is just because Trump says it's a partisan attack doesn't mean he actually knows who it is.
Trump intimated pretty strongly in tweets and he's been lying
so many times.
That's fine. I mean, I'm not sure which is better or worse.
I agree.
Either way, we have a situation where it feels like the administration knows who the person is. And it seems like they were able to get that information from the Department of Justice, right?
Okay.
Like, William Barr steps in and says, oh, you got this complaint from Bob Smith over at the CIA. Let's figure out a way to bury it in legal, blah, 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 legal jargon, legal red tape, and just deny it and, you know, let's move on. So what's come out is that the person... It seems like now that Trump was talking to the president of the Ukraine and pushing for the Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden and his son. Joe Biden's son has amassed a great deal of money working with the Ukraine and working with the Chinese government.
All right.
Which there's plenty of questions as to, what are you doing?
Right.
And so Trump was trying to pressure the Ukraine into investigating him, working with Rudy Giuliani to investigate, you know, how this happened, what was going on. They threw something in there about the 2016 election and Hillary Clinton, and saying that the Ukraine was, while Russia was throwing the election for Trump, apparently the Ukraine was trying to throw the election for Hillary, which I'm not sure where they're getting this from, but sure. You know, they've got their sources.
Right.
And there was, it's been described that Trump said, if you work with us on this, it'll make your relationship with us a lot better, and we can work with you on other things. It seems like there was a promise made from Trump to this person. We don't know. We don't have the transcripts of the call. We don't know specifically right. what was said. But Trump's team, you know, the first person they have out there is Rudy Giuliani. Trump has been tweeting about it. A lot of your Democrats in Congress are really now starting to clamor for impeachment. Me right now looking at it, it all feels and sounds bad, but I don't know where Trump, you know, trying to, I guess, blackmail the Ukraine into investigating Biden, who is technically now his political enemy. I don't know where that falls on the high crimes and misdemeanor scale in terms of impeachment.
Sounds like it lands on it.
I'm sure it's there somewhere. I don't know where it is, where it falls in terms of legality, what the actual charge would be. You know, I haven't really had time to sit down and dig and try to figure that out.
Do we know how the whistleblower story got out? Because they're supposed to be anonymous and...
Well, I mean, that's another question.
Someone leaked it, right?
Like, someone leaked it, and the question is who and why.
Right. Wow. Just based on, you know, that sounds like the most legitimate reason to pursue impeachment that I've heard during the Trump administration. We don't know. There's a lot we don't know.
Right.
But if those speculations are true, and you're trying to use the power of the U.S. government to influence foreign governments for political purposes,
right.
for that's really right. that's really tough to swallow.
And there's
I'm saying if true for all the people who are saying you just hate Trump. Yes, I do.
And you got to listen. So Rudy Giuliani was on Chris Cuomo's show last night. And
I still can't believe how big you're a fan of Chris Cuomo.
I don't watch the show.
No, but you love Chris Cuomo.
I do. I like him. Like Chris Cuomo. I like if you listen to him. I didn't watch his show when he was on CNN in the morning.
Okay.
I actually stumbled upon him on satellite radio, where apparently I hear everything. Right. And the show he has in the afternoons, like sometimes if I'm driving from a site or if I'm going somewhere. I think his show comes on at like 2 or 1 or noon or something right. like that. He's from noon to 2. But I like his style. He's thoughtful. You know, he's got an attorney background. He's got, you know, obviously his dad was the governor yep. and his brother is the current governor.
Yep.
You know, there's history there. And I think he's just that over-the-top Italian guy sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly that.
He cracks me up.
He comes off as a caricature.
Hilarious. But I want you to listen to this
okay.
this exchange between them. It's about 30 seconds, but just listen to this between Chris Cuomo and Rudy Giuliani, courtesy of CNN.
You asked the Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden.
No, actually, I didn't. I asked the Ukraine to investigate the allegations that there was interference in the election of 2016 by the Ukrainians for the benefit of Hillary Clinton, for which there already is a court finding.
You never asked anything about Hunter Biden. You never asked anything about Joe Biden.
The only thing I asked about Joe Biden is to get to the bottom of how it was that Lutsenko, who was appointed, dismissed the case against Antac.
So you did ask Ukraine to look into Joe Biden?
Of course I did.
You just said you didn't.
No, I didn't ask him to look into Joe Biden. I asked him to look into the allegations that related to my client, tangentially involved Joe Biden in a massive bribery scheme.
Rudy.
Not unlike what he did in China.
Rudy.
You explained to me how the kid got $1.5 billion from China.
I have no problem with you launching allegations. But just be careful about what you say. I asked you, did you ask Ukraine to look at Joe Biden? You said no. Then you went on to say that you did.
No, I didn't say that.
It's all recorded.
What I said was this.
It's all recorded.
It's all recorded.
I don't know. Giuliani, first of all, he is, for anybody who's a young attorney out there or, you know, someone that's in law school or thinking about it, just know that Rudy Giuliani is supposed to be Trump's personal lawyer.
Right.
Whatever you do, do not do things like this guy does them, okay? The only, like, there are, really, Rudy Giuliani has said enough dumb shit on TV.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, you can make an argument, this guy could maybe lose his law license, right? But, I mean, like, just some of the things that he says, his demeanor, the way he, I mean, there are people who have been suspended by various bar associations for being as ridiculous as he is. Now, he's going to get away with it because he's a former mayor of New York and whatever, but don't be like Rudy, all right?
When this is going to be a how not to instructional video in law schools.
Or how to be a really bad attorney. This whole situation, I don't know what to make of it. I think we need more detail about what, I mean, and something came out right before I got to you that, you know, Trump had this conversation repeatedly with the Ukraine, constantly badgering them about working with Rudy Giuliani and getting dirt on Biden and his son because it was, you know, time sensitive based on the election and everything else. So, well,
that Giuliani thing reminds me of Rick James on Chappelle's show. I never ruined Eddie Murphy's couch.
I never did nothing on Eddie Murphy's couch.
I did that on Eddie Murphy's couch. Cocaine's a hell of a drug, Rudy. That's all I'm saying. But that is
cocaine with Rudy. I think he's just.
I know, but anyway. So did you catch the President Trudeau of Canada has apologized for dressing in brownface 20 years ago? Was it?
I don't know. I mean, I guess he's done it more than once, and he's, you know, his whole apology was that he's really passionate about costumes, I guess.
Well, but the one that I read about, he was, like, they were going to a something theme night in costume, and this goes back to, it's easy for the white guy to say that the blackface, brownface thing needs to have the context around it.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know what, I saw something today where a guy said, look, man, I'm 43 years old. I'm a white conservative. You know, I may not agree with a lot of things that progressives and people on the left have to say, but in 43 years on this earth, I have managed to not trip and fall into a blackface scandal. Right? Like, I don't, like, now, is there a double standard? Like, oh, well, black people can. Well, the stupidity of that argument.
Yes, yes.
But it just, it's like, what are you doing, right? I mean, like, oh, well, 20 years ago, it wasn't a big thing. It's just like, yeah, it kind of was. It's been a thing for a while.
The only thing I'm going to say is just like that one girl that got in trouble for dressing up like the Orange is the New Black character. He was I forget what the theme was, but it was like some musical group or something like that. He's trying to imitate an individual. There's a big difference between that and the minstrel show shit.
Agreed.
Huge difference.
Agreed. Part of this, I don't care.
Okay.
Right? There's so many reasons why I don't care. One,
he's Canadian.
He's Canadian, right? He's the Prime Minister of Canada. I don't give a fuck what you do. right? Like, I just don't. In this, the whole, you know, dressing up in blackface thing, you know, with the, what is it, the governor in, what is it, Virginia?
Virginia, yeah.
That's a little bit different that because, was a lot different. You know, he's...
He dressed up with one person in his... Right, like, the other was in a Klan outfit.
Like, the other guy was in a Klan outfit. He had the black... Like, that shit is unacceptable.
Completely agree.
Right? But, I mean, the whole thing with, you know, he, Justin Trudeau, dressed up as, like, an Indian person or a Middle Eastern person.
Right.
Or you know, he's trying to imitate a character. You're right. There is a difference between those two. I don't want to... I don't think those things should be nitpicked. Again, I talk about hypersensitivity and political correctness all the time, and this kind of falls into that. You know, people are intentionally ignoring context, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, like that's what it's intentional,
and this is a ha gotcha moment, even though people know damn well that this isn't something that was
not racist,
like right, like not racially motivated. It wasn't intended to be racist. It wasn't intended to be hurtful. And then, you know, if there's an Indian or a brown, you know, Middle Eastern person out there that's offended by it, part of me says, like, come on, okay. You know, like, you got to respect everybody's feelings, but yeah, toughen up. I just need you to toughen up, right? Like, these are not the type of things, like, I got a president right now who is, you know, possibly trying to, who knows what he was trying to either give to the Ukraine or take away from the Ukraine so that, you know, they could, you know, give him dirt on the person that could be running against him in the general election in 2020, right? I don't give a shit about what Justin Trudeau was wearing 20 years ago.
So it was an Arabian Nights themed party, and it happened in 2001. So almost 20 years ago, and the theme of the party was Arabian Nights.
2001 was 20 years ago? Jesus Christ.
18.
I mean, I know. I just had my 20th high school reunion. And I'm hearing all these things, and it sounds fucking crazy, but I still feel like a young, spry stallion.
Well, good for you.
Oh, good for you.
Now, I'll tell you, some days I feel like I'm 20 years younger than I am, and some days I don't. This is one where I don't. But yeah, okay, so we agree. The context matters, and he came out and apologized and said, you know, I shouldn't have done it. At least he had the... You know, the wherewithal. Well, not that I would ever think he wouldn't have the wherewithal, but he came out and said it.
Well, because we deal with Donald Trump, who doesn't apologize for things, right? Like, I mean, he's come out and said, I don't apologize for anything ever because I'm never wrong.
Right.
Sounds like someone else that we know. No names, please.
Steven. All right, so moving on from that. So almost a year ago, you and I talked about a story where a New Jersey wrestling judge made a black kid cut his dreadlocks off if he was going to be allowed to compete in a match, despite there being no rule that said...
Right, so he gave the kid, you can... If you want to compete, you have to cut your hair off. If you don't want to cut your hair off, then you can't compete.
You forfeit, lose, yep.
And maybe your team loses, whatever. The kid opts to cut his hair, so they, right in front of everybody, it's a massive arena, you know, you've got multiple mats, multiple people, whatever... they cut his hair off pretty just, it was just really coarse. It had a bad feel and vibe to it.
I agree.
Right? I mean, like, the spirit of it, I get the judge's thing, kind of. I also, whose phone is that?
I think yours. I'm hoping yours.
Well, no, mine is.
Then I get it. It's mine.
mine is on my lap, and I definitely would know if it was vibrating.
All right.
But it just, it felt not good. Right, like watching it, it had a feeling of
publicly humiliating.
Right, exactly. Like they just kind of made a spectacle of it, and it just seems like there was a better way to go about it, a better way to resolve it. I mean, you know, with wrestling, you've got all this stuff that happens before the meet. They check your nails, they make sure that you don't have facial hair, all that sort of stuff. So why didn't this happen before?
Right.
Okay, and then there were all sorts of excuses, like, oh, the one judge wasn't there, and this guy was late. Blah, blah, blah. It's just like, all right, well, that's on you, judge. Like, you can't go and fuck these kids over now because you were late and the other guy didn't show up. And so I guess it boils down to, do we have an issue with this judge being suspended? And I don't.
Right? I don't either.
Because spirit of the rule, and everybody's got to play by the rules. Yeah, but when you're talking about kids, high school, junior high, whatever, and even in college to a degree, you should always err on the side of not humiliating the kid, Right? Like, I mean, it just like that. That's how I feel about it. You err on the side of not humiliating the kid. Now, listen, I played football in high school football in college in the late 90s and the early 2000s. Some of the things my coaches said to me would literally get them arrested today.
Yeah,
right? Some of the things they did to us would get them arrested, thrown in jail with little or no question today. And even experiencing that, I don't believe it completely ruined me. You know, it may make me a little bit more jagged than I need to be, but even experiencing that, I think what happened with this kid was it just violated the spirit of amateur pre-college high school sports.
What got to me about the story, and if this makes me cold-hearted, so be it, but what got to me was it took 10 months for the wrestling board of New Jersey to figure this out. I mean, this should have been resolved in a week.
Yeah,
I don't know what legal, but the fact that this is popping back up again almost a year later, it's actually almost amusing to me. It's like, and we finally have resolution in the New Jersey wrestling haircut case.
Right. I mean, I thought they had just, I didn't realize, well, good for them for, you know, following through. And I think this is the right thing. I mean, 2 years, I mean, that's kind of long, but at the same time, listen, but, I mean, it goes back to really basic principle that I think we kind of like to have on this show, and that's don't be a dick.
Right.
Right? Like, you had an option here to not be a dick. You really could have handled this another way. And
was it actually a rule being violated, or was it more his interpretation? Yeah, there was a rule
because it was the length of his hair, and so he had to have a certain wrestling cap. Okay, the ref said the cap that the kid had didn't meet the standard of what was in the rule book, so it was either get a cap, you know, that will cover your hair appropriately, or cut your hair to the necessary length.
I mean, it was.
Again, I mean, I think, and I really think they could have just, instead of cutting the kid's hair, just let him wear what he brought, right? Like, I mean, because it was something really stupid, like the cap part of the headgear didn't permanently fasten to the headgear; it like snapped on with buttons, and so the guy was just like, nope, disqualified.
So in other words, we had the like most overly officious wrestling judge ever.
And I think if I remember correctly, he had a hit, like he had done this before to other wrestlers, and not just black, but I mean, it looks really bad when it's a black athlete, especially in a sport like wrestling that's predominantly white, right? I think those are things that you have to be conscious of, right? Like, you're going to put this kid in the middle of the arena and have some woman that's a foot shorter than him just randomly gnawing off his hair, you know, kind of pulling his head all over, and then shove him back out there. And, you know, good for the kid. He goes out there, he wrestles, he wins the match. You could see how disheartened he was after the match over the whole thing. Like, the ref went to raise his hand in victory, and the kid's like, oh, get the fuck off me. Right?
If you're getting your ego fed by your power as a wrestling referee in high school, you've got bigger issues.
Oh, well, then there's a lot of people with a lot of issues.
Oh, there are.
I mean, I can think back to, you know, referees when we were in high school who, I mean, they just would get off on, you know, throwing flags physically at us, at me. There was this one.
You shouldn't have held the guy.
There was this one ref who, I know why he didn't like me. He had a reason to not like me.
Did you bang his daughter?
No. Speaking of wrestling, I punished his son in wrestling.
Oh, okay.
We were the same weight class. He was one of the few people in our area who was in the same weight class. I crushed his son all the time. And on the football field, you know, I'm one of the few people in high school who's been called for, like, running the football and getting called for a face mask. Like, just, it never happens in high school, but...
You straight out of someone in the face.
Oh, I stiff-armed the shit out of somebody in the face, and he threw the flag, and it hit me. And, like, I mean, like...
You didn't go Orlando Zeus Brown on him, did you?
No, well, you know, he didn't get me in the eye, but, I mean, it just, you know, I mean, like, you have these type of people who, they just get off on...
On power,
on pushing high school kids around.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm saying if you do that, you've got issues.
And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people with issues.
Okay, and I did not dispute that. So before we get into fun stuff like football, I talk about the environment as often as I can get away with on the show. You stop me from talking about the environment as quickly as you can get away with on the show, and I understand why. It's a snooze for a lot of people. Today there was an international protest where lots of young people walked out of jobs or schools and in an effort to bring attention to climate change.
And it was impressive. I mean, Germany, London, New York.
Australia.
I mean, like, if you saw the videos and the pictures, I mean, there were, you know, tens of thousands of young kids and people really, you know, getting it out there. You know, making their presence felt.
And good for them. I mean, I've got mixed feelings because protests are only worth something if they can accomplish something. I don't know what these kids marching is going to do in terms of influencing politics and policymakers. I'm not criticizing for doing it because you never know till you try. I'm just not optimistic that suddenly this is going to change things. But I'm all for well-minded, well-guided activism that doesn't result in violence or destruction of things. This sounds like it was one of those incidents.
Yeah.
It's an issue I'm very passionate about, as I've said a bunch of times. We'll see. But there was it did put some faces to the climate change concern. And the fact that it was mostly young people makes a lot of sense because, frankly, I think the planet will remain habitable while I'm alive.
Yes.
For the most part. I think we've got 20, 30 years in it. But if I'm 15, I'm like, fuck, by the time I'm this guy's age, pointing to myself, who knows what the situation's going to be. And we see some weird things going on that bother me. Just, you know, whenever we try to put complicated scientific things into a this is the cause, we're doing a disservice to science because there's not one variable moving the needle here. Having said that, it's something I'm very concerned about. I'm glad to see it. I'm supporting the kids for doing this. Am I optimistic that things are going to change? I'm not, because at this point, it's such a political mess. And the fact that it is a political mess is... that was the Whiskey Congress official, Steve, finish the bottle motion. And that was bottle was almost gone by when we started. I don't want to send the wrong attention. But anyway, I'm glad to see it. It's something that has become such a fucking political football, and it shouldn't be. This affects everyone. Even if you don't think that what the environmental scientists are saying, you should be arguing this with science, not politics, and that ship has sailed.
Yeah, I mean, do what you can. I mean, recycle. Don't drive the worst car out there on gas mileage. You know, use some biodegradable things. You know where I stand on this.
Yeah.
I don't.
You say you don't know.
I'm not a scientist. I don't purport to be one. And I'm not saying that you do or don't or are or not. All I'm saying is this just is not my bag. And I get it. It's the earth and I have a daughter and I know what I should. But I just, this is my honest opinion. I got other fights that are right in front of me right now that I need to work towards and fight for. I get it. I get your point. But mm-hmm. Like some of these social justice warriors, I don't know how they do it because they're just pissed off about everything, right? Race, homelessness,
feminism,
wars, feminism, LGBT, the Earth and space, alien, all that shit. Like they just got all of it covered. I don't know how you do it. My plate doesn't have room for this fight. That's you and your ilk.
But,
go fight,
you know,
I'll do my best not to fuck it up as much as I can. I'll do the basics, but you know, this whole thing where, well, we need to eat less red meat, and then that'll keep the cows from farting. And that, you're gonna have to get me to do something else.
Did I ever tell you about the conversation I had with my coworker? Not exactly about this, but kind of. Is a woman I worked, a black woman I worked with in North Carolina, and we were just having a friendly conversation. I was doing something in the earthy hippie realm, and so anyway, she she's listening to me talk about my pro-environment, this, that, the other thing. And she looked at me, and the look said this, and I think I said this to her. I won't swear that I did, because I can't remember if I said it or thought it or both. But she looked at me like, it's adorable what 45-year-old white men get to worry about. I got bigger fish to fry as a 40-year-old black woman living in North Carolina.
Well, I mean,
and it's fair, yeah.
Right. I mean, and that's kind of the thing, right?
Like, it's easy for me to go look at these big picture things when I'm not constantly getting shit on at work because of my. And she was getting treated badly at work, which is how the conversation started. Anyway, but yeah, I agree. It's easier for me, someone like me, to make a deal out of this because there's a lot of shit that I'm not dealing with. Having said that, the science to me is. The scientific community is very much in alignment here, and the only people who are disputing it for the sake of doing it. And in my opinion, what I just said is a fact, not an opinion, a fact. The scientific community, as it, the vast majority of it, says, we got real problems, we better start doing shit.
Yeah. Yes. So, moving from the environment, you just articulated that so well and wrapped it up that I think that it's just, I would only make it worse.
Your sarcasm is palpable, but okay.
No, actually, this is pretty good. And I don't really have an argument, but I also don't have like a strong supportive statement, so I have to transition out. So, what I want to transition into is, you know, Beto O'Rourke is making a lot of noise right now as a candidate talking about gun control. Now, I have basically come to realize that my stance on gun control is that I just disagree with everybody on the left regarding gun control. I think that, you know, we've had conversations in the past, and I feel that there are, I think the true solution to this is you have to accept the fact that it's going to be a long-term process, that it's not going to happen overnight, that there's no stroke of the pen that's right. Going to resolve the issue.
The toothpaste is out of the tube.
Right. And so when you look at it, what we have to do is go to the gun manufacturers and go to them and put a cap on them. Like, you can no longer produce these weapons and sell them to the public or sell them to the distributors, who will then get to the public, like, they can only be for, you know, military and police, right? And then whatever's out there is out there, right? We've had this discussion before with previous guests where over time, those weapons eventually become more valuable as there are no more being put into the system.
Right.
And so the question then becomes, now me personally, I have to make an economic decision. Do I keep this or is there value in me letting it go, right? Also, if you know you can't get another one, all of a sudden, how you take care of it, how you keep it, where you keep it, safety, all of a sudden, that becomes way more important.
Sure.
And so, to me, that's the way to go. You go after the gun manufacturers. I don't give a shit about the NRA. I really don't. You know, I mean, that whole organization is a mess right now. This isn't the NRA. This is gun manufacturers.
Right.
Go deal with them. Don't attack the Second Amendment, right? Because going to the gun manufacturers and saying, just don't make them, right? You can't make them. And if you do, the fine will be, you know, if they start to make their way back into consumers' hands, you know, in civilians' hands, then the fines will be so exorbitant that they will, you know, that they'll put you under. Then that's how you resolve it. Understanding that it's going to take a long time for the weapons to eventually filter out. And then the other part of it, you by doing that, you don't have this assault on the Second Amendment. You don't have this whole thing where you're saying, well, we're gonna buy back this thing that we never owned in the first place, and we're going to use your taxpayer money to pay for this buyback.
You're talking, like, about the Beto O'Rourke,
right, plan. Right, the Beto O'Rourke plan. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. You're not going to take my money to take the thing that I paid for that I didn't buy from you in the first place and take it out of my house. I'm just not going to give it to you. And then how are you going to do it? Are you actually going to go door to door with police or military with guns to take my gun? Right? I mean, is that not the exact image of a fucking tyrannical government?
It's exactly what people like me who listen to the, you know, really aggressive Second Amendment people like me say, when you're proposing that that's going to happen, you're being silly. And then Beto O'Rourke comes out and says something like this, and it becomes really hard for me to say.
Right, he's not the first one. Eric Swalwell said it. You know, Kamala Harris has said, you know, similar things, although she's been a little bit more guided about her tactic of saying this. But, I mean, listen, I think that we can all agree that there's an issue with gun violence in this country. But where I think a lot of us disagree is, the whole thing with the schools, like people are pissed off about that because it happened in Parkland, and most of the kids were white, right? And it happened in
the San Antonio shooting was a different. I mean, that was a racially motivated.
But San Antonio wasn't a school shooting.
No, it was not. You're right.
Parkland was a school shooting. Sandy Hook was a school shooting with little kids.
Right.
You know these schools. You know Columbine was the whitest of the white neighborhoods, and it was like, oh my God, what is this? But we've had violence in the inner city where kids die every fucking day, right? And, you know, conservatives always go to, oh, there's many people died in Chicago. Oh, Chicago, Chicago, Chicago. All around the country, right? Yep. All these major cities that have predominantly black neighborhoods are just riddled with gun violence day in and day out. And none of these people give a shit about that, right? Beto O'Rourke doesn't give a fuck.
Well, let me make my point. And then
no, I'm not done making mine.
Okay.
So, you know, like, and they'll say, they'll throw something out there, but in reality, the reason they're having this response, the Beto O'Rourkes and the Eric Swalwells, the reason why they're having this response is because of what happened in these particular schools. Now, listen, school shootings are very rare. They don't happen that often. There's a really bad stat out there that says in the last 10 years, there's been 240 school shootings, right? Now, those stats are really skewed. They're overinflated. Because everything is qualifying as a school shooting, right? Like if your resource officer falls asleep and you know his gun goes off, you know, like that's a school shooting, right? Like that they're counting it, right? Like, I mean, like there's all sorts of you know ways that these stats are skewed, but they throw them out there and people think that these school shootings are happening, you know, every day in every city, but they're not. What you saw down in Parkland is an anomaly. It does not happen at all.
It did not happen often, but it did happen.
And 20 people
died or whatever.
It did, and that's terrible. But when you go through what happens in this city where we live in Cleveland, you live where you pay taxes in this city, the number of kids that see and feel gun violence day in and day out way outnumbers the Parkland Columbine kids by a 1,000-to-1 ratio.
Sure.
So, you can say all you want to do about guns, but listen, anything that Beto is proposing, or any of these politicians is proposing, does that change at any time what's happening in this city?
No, but what I wanted to say is, whenever. You just kind of made the reverse argument of what I'm about to say, and that is a lot of times when people talk about we need gun control, and by the way, I don't agree with most gun control proposals. I do have some thoughts on things. I've always been a big believer in restricting magazine capacity because it's more difficult to kill lots of people with a smaller magazine, but we had this discussion 50 times. But a lot of times when the Second Amendment people hear we need to do these things to protect Parkland, to protect whatever, their immediate response is, what about inner city Chicago? So they just try to flip the script and say, the stuff going on in the inner city. And what I want to say, and I've said it before here and to you, is that's not an argument. That's not a legitimate argument. Yes, we should be trying to fix the problems in the inner city. That doesn't mean, because that's still a problem, you get to ignore the other stuff.
No, it doesn't. But the problem is that
lots of people do.
But the solution to the Parkland problem, right, isn't a solution to the Parkland problem.
Agreed.
Right, and it also blatantly ignores what's happening. Like, if you want to talk gun violence, let's talk gun violence. Like the actual gun violence, where the violence is happening every day.
I agree.
Right, but the solution to those problems isn't, well, let's make guns illegal, because most of the gun violence that happens to people who is being perpetrated by people who legally can't own or obtain guns. Right, and they're using guns that are not legal.
Yeah, I agree. And so right? the idea and that they start following the laws is not a valid argument. I understand.
Right. Oh. So, I mean, like, so by going in and saying, all right, we're going to throw more laws out there. I mean, we have 20,000 laws on the books between federal and state, and local governments as to gun control, right? We already have 20,000. Right, so adding a few more, you can say, well, adding a few more is not going to hurt. What I can tell you is that it's not going to fucking help.
Right. Well, I mean, if you look at places with the strictest gun laws, I mean, Chicago, New York City are amongst the strictest gun law areas in the country, and they also, well, Chicago has amongst the worst gun violence.
New York's actually, you know, their gun violence problem is...
Not that bad, actually.
Not that bad, considering the number of people there and just the size and mass of the actual
city.
But
one thing that was interesting this week, though, is Colt... has chosen to stop making the AR-15.
Okay.
Which means, well, I'm going to say one thing first of all. Hold on, let me say one thing first. If one more person argues with me or anyone else and says, AR doesn't even mean assault rifle, I know that, and who gives a fuck? That's another dumbass argument that people make all the time. Just because AR does not mean assault rifle doesn't mean it's not a civilian version of a military assault rifle.
Okay.
Sorry, have to go that just sticking that dumb argument.
That's fine. But Colt came out and said they're stopping making them because, one, the market is flooded with other manufacturers that are making AR-15
there are tons of them.
And, you know, M4, you know, civilian semi-automatic rifles.
Right.
Right? And their whole reason is, like, listen, we make so many for the military and the police... that it's just financially it makes no sense for us to do it for the civilian market because we make our money off of doing the bulk sales to the military and the police. So we're getting, all right. Like, I mean, like, so they come out and they make this announcement and people feel like, well, it's because of Beto and it's because, you know, of all the pressure that they're receiving. And I just think that's you're not really looking at the entire picture, and that's a disingenuous argument to say that, well, you know, because even Beto O'Rourke is just like, I win. Look what they did. They stopped doing it. It's like, all right.
Okay. let me say what I think you're saying. Shame on me for just looking at a headline, because literally, everything I saw about this was scroll on CNN when I was at the bar, spite drinking, or so legit. Shame on me. I got lured by a headline.
You didn't read it?
I did not.
Oh.
I did not. And busted.
Oh.
Yes, I just exhibited...
The caucasity!
The caucasity. But no, I just exhibited exactly the kind of behavior that I always bitch about. Yes. I saw a headline, and I didn't follow up and see what it really meant, but I took it to be meaning something significant, and you just very clearly spelled out how it means Jack and shit, and Jack just left. So, shame on me. Call.
Yeah, yeah.
One foul anyway. On Jim, five more, and he has to go sit out of the game.
But yeah, I mean, my feelings about this are getting stronger because the more you hear this argument, right, especially coming from your progressive left, your Democratic candidates for president and everything else, and just you want to shake them and say, do you hear yourself, right? Do you hear some of the things that you're proposing? Do you even think, like, how has, you know, Beto and anyone who supports the whole idea of a gun buyback not thought about the whole idea of what money are we going to use to buy these guns back?
Right? Well, and like you said before, if it's a forced, quote-unquote, buyback, that's a seizure with compensation.
Right. That's a compensated confiscation.
Right. And so... Beto O'Rourke was never... I mean, I loved Beto O'Rourke for exactly as long as he looked like a legitimate threat to Ted Cruz. And I think 99% of the other people who did...
You know, I mean, and my argument with Beto O'Rourke has always been, like, listen, he looked like he was going to beat Ted Cruz in Texas, but the wash came out. It was a close win, loss, or however you want to describe it. You know how I feel about close losses in these sort of things. Sure. They don't fucking matter. I don't think Texas is anywhere near going blue. I think it will over time because you have so many people from other places moving there because of their,
true.
You know, lack
They're
of...
They're becoming more tech-driven.
Right, and yeah, I mean, and, you know, pieces, I mean, it's just more tax-friendly. So true. People who make money or corporations who make money you know, bringing in that higher level, then you're going to, yeah, so over time, Texas is probably going to shift.
Not right? to mention the ever-increasing Latino population, which is generally voting blue.
That's not accurate or true.
What do you mean?
Well, Latino population doesn't vote blue as much as people say they do. Statistically, Latinos are very conservative as a group and as a culture. And voting-wise, right, their voting-wise, they're not as in line with the, especially today's Democrats, as people think. Now, there are certain, based off of, like, because of immigration policy and things like that, there are some shifts, but the to say that the Latinos,
Latino population is anti-Trump because of what Trump says about Latinos. So I'm
they're not a monolith.
Follow number two on Jim.
Right. I mean, because it's really a mixed bag with Latinos, so you can't necessarily count on them. And that's where people have been making the mistake about Texas, because people keep saying Latinos vote blue, Latinos vote blue, Latinos vote blue, but yet Texas keeps popping up red. Why is that? Because you don't have the lock on Latinos like you think that you actually have.
And one last thing about Beto. Actually, let me do this in the form of asking you a question. Do you think, a few questions, do you think Beto is seizing on this because of the tragedy in San Antonio and trying to politicize a tragedy for personal gain?
Yes.
Do you think that doing that is going to hurt him very badly in the state of Texas, because that's low taxes and leave my guns alone matters a hell of a lot in that state?
Not as much. I mean, I don't think... It's not going to matter, because he's not really, in
terms of his political future.
What is his political future?
Probably
he's already said that he's not running for Senate again. He doesn't want his congressional seat back. Beto wants into a Democratic president's White House administration.
Okay.
I think he's done with local and state politics. That's why I think he's really like if you're from Texas, you know damn well that saying that you're going to go and literally go in and take people's guns is
political suicide.
Is suicide.
Yeah.
He knows that. He doesn't care. Like this is him saying, Kamala Harris, I'll be your, or I'm sorry, not Kamala Harris. She's dead in the water politically, right, for president.
Yes.
Elizabeth Warren, I'll be your whatever.
Energy secretary.
Right. Like whatever.
Every bit as good as Rick Perry's doing.
Exactly. I mean, just make me the secretary of education. I'll do HUD, whatever. That's all this is, right? He's showing that he is aligning with the furthest people on the left, because it looks like your top tier candidates for the Democrats are going to be Biden, Warren, Sanders.
Right.
Right. So he's saying, all right, Biden is kind of, centrist, flaky, whatever. But, you know, Warren and Sanders are really far left. So I'm going to say the furthest left thing that I can. Coming out of Texas, we're taking your guns and, you know, put me in your administration somewhere, because I align with you politically. That's what this is all about.
And I had one more question I was going to ask. And I'm drawing a blank. So I'm thinking we just move on, because we've talked about Beto O'Rourke longer than I normally would want to.
Yeah,
not trying to be shitty.
I do want to say this one thing, right? Like, and I probably said it before, and I'm probably repeating myself, but I like to say it, so I'm going to say it again. With him, you're right. People loved him because they thought that he was going to be Ted Cruz. He didn't. And my question has been, listen, if this guy can't win in Texas, how the fuck is he supposed to win a general election? How the fuck is this guy supposed to go out and beat the other Democratic candidates, who people know better, who people like better, right? Who more young millennial people are behind, right? This guy is good. You really think that this guy is going to be able to mobilize an entire country to vote and get behind him when he couldn't do it in Texas? When he was going up against Ted Cruz?
Was it running against a Republican senator in Texas is a tough call for a Democrat. But if you're going to do it, run against Ted Cruz.
Right, and then, but then he couldn't do it against Ted Cruz.
No, he couldn't.
Right, that's my thing. Like, I mean, I think, I guess, I'm not a huge fan of Beto O'Rourke. I think that he
really
is just, he's a dude who took what Obama did in, you know, the early 2000s and said, you know, I'm young, I'm in a bit, like, he looked at the mold, right? He looked at Bill Clinton and, you know, Bill Clinton on Arsenio Hall playing the saxophone and you know, Barack Obama just being young and suave and powerful and passionate, right? So he said, I'm going to blend myself up with all the best things of Clinton and Obama, and I'm good. Except you're not either of those guys.
What strikes me about him is he seems to have been so impressed with himself with regards to how much money he raised when he ran against Ted
Cruz. Yes, he loved that, him that,
some him. Right, and you thought, they love me. No, they hate Ted Cruz.
Right. I mean, it's almost like he was briefly drinking out of the same pond that Antonio Brown has been drinking out of.
Speaking of Mr. Brown, what a week that poor young man has had.
Man, get out of here with that poor young man bullshit.
Well, okay, here's the thing.
Yes. I said I know you're being sarcastic.
Yes, I'm being sarcastic. All right, first of all, I want to talk about the fart video. So if you haven't seen this, Google it, YouTube it. Antonio Brown was getting, I want to say it was like a body fat measurement test, so he's sitting there shirtless and shorts, and this doctor is placing a stethoscope on him, and he's just sitting there ripping farts. And I laughed my ass off. And what's best is at one point, he turns and mugs for the camera with this huge grin on his face. Like, this poor guy has to sit there probing me in the gut with a stethoscope, and I'm just like,
it was,
and the grin was hilarious. But anyway, I thought it was hilarious. The other thing I thought was funny though was TMZ broke the story. No, they didn't. He published the fucking video.
He posted the video, which is insane.
Right? Like, no, it's even funnier.
Right? I mean, but it's like the level of insanity we're at with this cat is wild. So there's a story. So occasionally I listen to Pittsburgh Sports Talk Radio via the radio.com app. And
well played
me, because we're on the radio.com app. So I'm listening to Pittsburgh radio, and there was this story that like last year or the year before, something caught on fire in his microwave, right? Like somebody put a baked potato with foil on it in the microwave. It causes all sorts of smoke alarms go off.
Okay.
You know, and he lives, you know, big house in Pittsburgh, so the alarm system is very intricate and very loud.
Sure.
Police come, fire come, his girlfriend answers the phone, or answers the door. And she's like, oh, I burned something, whatever. They're like, are you the homeowner? No. AB is. They're like, all right, well, we would like to talk to AB, right? And so she goes, AB, the police and fire are here. They want to talk to you. She comes back, and she comes to the door and says, he can't talk right now. He's getting a massage.
Go on. I'm curious.
Period. And they said, are you sure? She said, yes. He doesn't want to talk right now. Everything's fine. Closes his door. Police fire. Scratch their head. They leave. Now,
by the way, you said police fire. You meant police and fire department, not the police fire.
Yeah, police and fire. They leave. Yeah. Now, just think about that. So your smoke alarm is going off, right, in your house. It's probably loud as shit. There might be lights flashing. Who knows?
Probably automatic things set right, to the fire department. Yes, to, right.
And who, I don't know, all this stuff is happening, right? Some random girl, allegedly his girlfriend, answers the door, right? Police want to talk to you. Like, could you imagine, Jim, like if you're at my house and all this shit goes off, you go to the door. And the police say, we want to talk to...
You don't have to imagine. You were here. Well, but... My alarm went off. But imagine if you had just said, no he's upstairs. He's here. He doesn't want to talk to
you. He's upstairs jerking off. No, he doesn't have time for this. Like, I mean, like, are you fucking insane? Like, I mean, you get up and you go to the door. You're like, oh, sorry, we burnt something in the stove. And then they're like, all right, well, everything okay? Yeah, everything's fine. Thanks for coming. See you later. Nope. AB says, I ain't even getting up. Fuck it. You tell them bitches I'm getting a massage. Get out. Are you fucking serious?
Dude's a weird cat. All right. So today he was cut by the New England Patriots because they told him to stop interacting with the woman that accused him of sexual assault, and he did not stop. In fact, he really kind of put his foot on the gas
ramped
and was sending out texts to multiple people talking about how she was a liar, and he still says he's innocent. And
but I think he sent her. I think he sent her a text,
a threatening text.
That had something to do with her kids.
I thought he sent a group text and someone responded to that and threatened her. You know, he put her in exposure of people that had his back. Either way,
it's not good. And he's also no longer a New England Patriot. This guy went from guaranteed $30 million with the Raiders in March,
right,
to, you know, about $15 million with the Patriots.
When you're doing with the Patriots, yep.
I guess he's earned about $180,000 this year, and that's probably going to be it because I don't see another team signing him. And if they do, he's probably going to get put on the non-exempt list from the commissioner or just flat out suspended.
Well, we don't. I mean, there have been no allegations that would get him suspended yet.
Well, this thing with him, you know,
if he's threatening a woman on text, that might do
like
it.
The NFL is listen. The NFL has suspended guys on suspicion of shitty behavior. Like, I mean, the whole thing with Tyreek Hill.
Right.
You know.
They've also done nothing in cases where you're like, how the fuck did they do nothing? Or done very little.
Right. I mean, but the NFL has looked at a guy and said, well, you're suspended until we figure out what the fuck is going on.
Right.
Right. And Antonio Brown has been allowed to be a complete jackass for the last year plus. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like,
as big a Steelers fan as you are, this has to be almost bittersweet for you. He fucked your team over, then fucked over the team he fucked your team over with, then goes to the Patriots, and the feeling from everyone was this whole thing was a Kaiser Soze-esque master plot for him to end up in New England. Mm-hmm. He does, without anyone getting in trouble, and we talked about this at the bar, and we talked about it on the show, the idea that there was no communication, whether you want to call it tampering or not, between New England and Antonio Brown when shit was going down.
Minimum with Drew Rosenhaus.
There is, in my opinion, zero chance that none of that happened, which has gotten teams in trouble in the past.
Right.
And now he fucked that up.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that is an amazing sequence of selfish, weird, delusional.
So obviously,
fuck-ups.
As soon as Antonio Brown gets cut by the Patriots, My phone blows up.
Right? I'm not surprised.
I'm at work and my phone blows up. Like, I got friends that are Patriots fans from, you know, my days in Massachusetts. I have fellow Steeler fans. I have just people who know how big of a Steeler fan I am.
Not to mention how many Pittsburgh sports based websites do you get auto notifications from?
I mean, like, so my phone blows up, and the biggest thing for me was, well, this is. I mean, I feel bad for the young man. I really, truly do, because clearly he's got some things going on. But I do have Julian Edelman on my fantasy team, and I think this bodes well for us.
Was that like Godfather voice?
No, I'm just saying.
Okay.
I think it bodes well for us. Well, and all that to say, I don't give a shit about Antonio Brown, right? Like, the Steelers are done with him. They traded him. People are like, oh, well, the Steelers are playing bad, and it's because they miss Antonio Brown. Like, listen, the dude clearly wasn't going to play for us no matter what.
Right.
And so even if we hadn't traded him, he was just going to be this. This is what we were going to have to deal with. Right. Like, so he wasn't going to come on the field. And one way or another, he would have worked his way out of Pittsburgh. So we got a third and a fifth round pick for him. And Oakland right now, Mike Mayock and John Gruden have to be looking at Kevin Colbert, who is the GM for the Steelers, like, you motherfucker. and I guarantee you, KC's response is, look, y'all said you wanted a physical. You got a physical. You should have asked for a psych eval.
For a mental.
Right? You should have. Like, he had done enough crazy shit in Pittsburgh where I would have been like, I not only want a physical, I want a psych evaluation. Like, that's how fucking crazy he was. Like, what we knew, and who knows what Tomlin and crew covered up for him. I think Ben is still covering for him. And, you know, there's a reporter from Bleacher Report, Mike Freeman, who put out this story that makes Mike Tomlin look pretty bad. And I think it's intentional. I think Mike Freeman has some issues with Mike Tomlin because Mike Tomlin has been a pretty big supporter and backer of Ben Roethlisberger. And so Ben Roethlisberger was allowed to do this, but nobody else was. And so this is what allowed Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell to feel the way that they felt and act the way that they acted on their departure, right? So this Mike Freeman guy is literally saying, this is Mike Tomlin's fault, right? But I think what we're seeing is that, one, Antonio Brown is fucking crazy.
Right? I'm not going to argue with
that. That's not Mike Tomlin's fault. Like, I don't think it would have mattered how Mike Tomlin treated Ben Roethlisberger. Like, listen, Mike Tomlin has made plenty of mistakes. I love him as a coach. I love him as a Steelers coach. I need him to get his shit together right now.
You love his fashion sense, too.
Man's got style. He's got style. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
I have to tell you about something I heard on Buffalo Sports Talk Radio on radio.com. Because I'm going to tell you what was said, and then I'll let you react to it. So the afternoon radio guys from Buffalo, the report comes out that the likelihood that sexual allegations would be filed against Antonio Brown were known prior to him negotiating his deal with the Patriots, and they didn't disclose that to the Patriots before negotiating the deal. And they asked, should Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, have told the Patriots in advance?
No.
Of course not. That is the dumbest thing I've ever fucking heard. Really? Who says, okay, before you give my guy $15 million, you should know that is that's how dumb the afternoon show is on Buffalo Sports Talk Radio. They said that, and I went, oh my God, you said that, and you get paid to talk about sports for a living. Your agent's job isn't to show the other team the pros and cons of getting you. It's to get you the best deal you can. If this guy was a... Anyway, I just wanted you to know that that's how dumb Buffalo Sports Talk Radio can get, because who the fuck thinks it's a good idea to tell the team trying to pay your man seven figures?
Well, listen, I mean, Jamil Hill came out and said, do you think Pittsburgh knew about the sexual blah, blah, blah back when they traded him back in March? I'm like, well, first of all, probably not, right? Like, this is probably something
even if
that,
they did, it's not their job to disclose
well,
this guy's
mess. Right. I mean, it's not like,
in
hey.
In fact, it's smart not to.
Right. I mean, one, I don't think that they did. And two, even if they did, like, oh, the fact that Oakland wasn't...
Hey, Oakland, you know, we want more from you. But by the way, the guy we're trying to give you might get suspended for 6, 8, 10, 2 years. Who
right.
knows?
I mean, and the Steelers have done that to Oakland twice, by the way.
Who's the other one?
Martavius Bryant.
I had totally forgotten about that.
So did another everybody else.
Another receiver.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Yes.
Hey, Oakland, draft your own. Oh, wait, you fucked that up, too. Never mind. Don't draft your own receivers. Who was the burner out of Maryland that they picked up in the first round? Jenkins?
No, Darius Hayward Bay.
Hayward Bay, thank you.
Who plays for?
I have no idea where he's now.
Plays for Pittsburgh.
It doesn't...
And he's been a special team maven for us. Like, he's a dude that, he's so fast, he runs down on punts and kickoffs. He's returned punts. He's had big plays for us. He's helped us in the playoffs.
So a former first-round pick is now a special team stud for the team that sold two pieces of shit receivers. That is fucking awesome. Oh, my God, that's great. That is fantastic. All right, we do have to talk about our bet. Because yeah. we bet before the season. I bet with the Bills and Steelers who would have a better record. And you basically were choosing which whiskey I was going to have to buy when I said those things.
Okay.
As of right now, Bills are 2-0, Steelers are 0-2. This is far from over, but I don't feel bad enough to change a thing. So this is about to be fake sympathy, but Ben's done for the year.
All right, here, let me just get this out. Where are we on time?
We're right at an hour, and I want to talk about the Area 51 thing real quick.
Okay.
But we do a little bit more football.
All right, so here's the deal. It looks bleak for the Steelers. They play the Patriots. They basically get blanked. They lose 30-3, or whatever the score was.
Right,
they looked terrible. They couldn't do anything on defense. But that's par for the course for the Steelers under Mike Tomlin in Foxborough. For whatever reason, he can't figure out Bill Bel. Like that.
Either can't anyone else.
And neither can anyone. Right? Like, I mean, but for me. I see the Steelers playing in Foxborough on the schedule when it comes out. It's a loss. That was a loss for me. I knew the Steelers were going to start 0-1, right? Like, I mean, I can go back to whatever. The Steelers were going to start 0-1. I thought it was going to be a little bit closer, but whatever. So then we turn around, and then we lose to the Tennessee Titans, week two. Now, Ben goes out, right, hurt elbow, needs this ridiculous surgery that's like Tommy John surgery plus. And the Steelers lose to Seattle at home. Here's my thing. Ben wasn't playing well. I don't know if it was because of the injury.
You initially said Tennessee. You meant Seattle.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Seattle.
Okay.
My bad. But Ben wasn't playing well. He played like shit in New England. Part of that, Dante Moncrief had a ton of drops. But in Tennessee, he wasn't playing well. He wasn't hitting receivers. He was overthrowing, but whatever. But this has been early in the season. He always looks bad the first 2-3 games, right? Last year, he threw 5 interceptions against the Browns. 5! Right? I mean, he just...
And they tied that game.
And they tied that game, right? I mean, that just shows you how bad it was, right? And he didn't look that much better in the second game. And so the Steelers started 0-1-1.
Yep.
Right? I mean, and then they ended up winning 9 games last year, and they were a few plays away from being a 10-11 win season
in a
playoff team. But Ben was playing really, really bad. Mason Rudolph came in, and he actually looked pretty good. Now, I'm a Mason Rudolph fan. You're a Mason Rudolph fan.
I was a reason to remember that, yeah.
And I'm okay with him because, listen, this kid went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield in the Big 12 when they were all there. Yep. And he played at the same level that those kids played. So in theory, this kid could play as well as Baker Mayfield played last year. He's not going to be as good as Mahomes because Mahomes is just on another level. But he at minimum can do what Baker Mayfield did last year. Offense is not going to be the Steelers' problem, I feel, going forward. Our problem is defense. We can't stop shit. We can't stop short yardage. We can't stop long plays. You go five wide on the Steelers right now for the last 5 years. You go five wide, empty set backfield, first down, touchdown every time. I don't know why anyone is even lining up any other formation against us because we just can't stop it. So I feel personally with bringing on Minkah Fitzpatrick from Miami, they gave up a first-round pick and a little bit more, but by bringing him into the equation, you may have solidified the back end of your DBs. That may help your linebackers and things like that with the middle of the field. So all of a sudden, like if that works out defensively, then this team may be. I think this team is actually going to creep up on people. If they get a win on the West Coast in San Francisco, right, with the San Francisco team that I believe is 2-0, yep. Then I think I'll be okay.
Maybe 1-1. Here's honest to God, this is my sincere thought. And I'm even going to say so far as to say my sincere fear. My sincere fear is that this playing out the way it did could be what launches Mason Rudolph into a 12-to-15-year career as a star. I mean,
interesting for Ben Roethlisberger to go out like he came, like to kind of go out in the same scenario that he came in?
Kind of in the same scenario that Tom Brady came in. Not saying I'm not right, trying to
compare. Throw what you just said out. But Tommy Maddox gets hurt, right? Ben Roethlisberger just runs onto the field, and I remember Bill Cowher is just like, "What the fuck, this dumb kid," right? Ben goes in, wins 14 or 15 games. They go into the playoffs. They end up actually losing
to Tom Brady and the Patriots,
and then he goes on to be Ben Roethlisberger, two-time Super Bowl champ, yep. Been to the Super Bowl three times. Mason Rudolph coming in after Ben Roethlisberger. Listen, Mason Rudolph is able to get this team into the playoffs and win a game or two. I know Ben Roethlisberger said he's coming back, but he may fuck around and just be like, you know what? Recovery's not going so good. I'm going to go ahead and hang him up.
And I remember when Mason Rudolph got drafted, Ben kind of threw a fit because it was clear they were drafting a guy that they believed was his heir apparent.
Because the year before they had drafted Josh Dobbs, who they have subsequently traded to Jacksonville because of Jacksonville's quarterback situation. So, I'm being optimistic because it's a little early in the season to go throw myself off the 480 bridge, which is a very high bridge here in Cleveland.
For those who are.
But it's early, so let me.
I am not celebrating my victory. I'm very much concerned that this is going to be a blessing in disguise for you.
Before you send me a list of whiskey.
I'm not a spike the ball at the 20-yard line guy. You know that.
Let's kind of see how this shakes out.
No, I think, I'm thrilled with how the Bills are playing, but I think that this event for the Steelers may have actually been, maybe not a benefit this year. I think it might be a long-term blessing for them because I think their transition to their next franchise quarterback may have just begun.
That's
not what I'm rooting for, you know that, but I'm just saying that's what I see.
Right. I think offensively we'll be okay. My big concern is on defense. I need Devin Bush to step it up quickly.
All right. We'll this will continue to play out, and I wanted to get you
the bet goes nowhere.
The bet goes.
The bet stands.
Yeah, absolutely. The bet stands. You don't get the. There was no clause in there that if Ben blows out his arm. All right. One more thing, real quick. When I sent you a thing saying I wanted to talk about the raid on Area 51, how annoyed were you?
Very.
I love the idea that that has become a story.
I hope they get murdered. I hope that these idiots actually physically try to raid Area 51, and I hope that the U.S. military pulls out the fucking big guns and just mows them down with 50 cals. Over. This is the dumbest thing I've ever fucking heard. Now, it's supposed to be a joke. I know it was started by some guys who came out and said it was a joke, but people are stupid. We just have learned that people are fucking stupid. I think we have more
We didn't just learn it.
We're at a point now where it's just like there are really more dumb people out there than we thought. And I think that some people, like, I think that people who thought of this said it was a joke. But there are some people who have bought all the land.
The flat earth, the birds aren't real.
Yes. Kyrie and company are gonna go running headfirst into Area 51, and I hope they get annihilated.
Here's why I put that
on there. Not arrested, annihilated.
Here's why I put that on there. One, to annoy you. I'm not gonna insult your intelligence to deny that. Jay. Two, I think this is awesome in the hilariousness aspect of it. But three, kind of like we talked about at the beginning, I believe in well thought out, goal driven protests and social activism. This is the exact opposite of that.
This is none of that. So that's not how any of this goes.
I couldn't help myself with that. Can we wrap it up on that? Because it's kind of like a boomerang. Thank you for listening. We are at Whiskey Congress on all social media. Jim at WhiskeyCongress.com if you want to email me and call me an idiot. Steve at WhiskeyCongress.com if you want to email him.
Nobody really emails us that much anymore.
Not that much, no.
We got a couple not early, Twitter. And now we get a lot of it is on Twitter, but that's fine.
That's actually probably better because more people see it. But anyway, thanks for listening. We're out of here.